Welcome to the Knowledgeable Parent Podcast, where we share tips, research, and resources to help you to make the best decisions for yourself, your children, and your family as you learn to live your best life as a parent. I'm your host, a South Dakota licensed marriage and family therapist, a registered play therapist supervisor, and most importantly, a mom, Emily Laring. Hello, and welcome to today's podcast. Today, I'm excited to have Sarah Keeler as a guest. Sarah's going to be talking with us about teenagers, from what's going on for them emotionally during this phase of their life, to what parents can do to help support and connect with their teen, which can be stressful for both teens and parents. So I'm happy to have Sarah on the podcast because I know that we do get a lot of calls from parents asking for help for their teen to navigate this phase of their life, and also requests for help from parents who might feel like they are at a loss of what to do to support their teen during this time. So thank you so much, Sarah, for being here.
Thank you so much for having me today, Emily.
No problem. So before we get into the topic of teens, I just want to introduce our listeners to Sarah. So Sarah is a therapist here at Encompass Mental Health, and she's a licensed professional counselor of mental health in South Dakota, and she works primarily with teens and adults in her practice. So Sarah, can you just start off by sharing a little bit about yourself, the work that you do with teens, just to help listeners to know how your insight into teens can be valuable for them?
Yeah, so the main techniques that I utilize with my teenagers and also adults is mindfulness and CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy. And so we do a lot of work with focusing on the present moment, observing our thoughts and feelings as they arise, and cultivating this foundation of being in the here and now, accepting our life without judgment, and just figuring out how to navigate and understand our feelings from a neutral perspective so that we can kind of investigate and grow rather than feel stuck.
Sure. Okay. Sounds complicated. Okay. So, when we're talking about teens, a common conception that I have heard of from people is that teens are so moody. They have such an attitude. They're so emotional. Can you explain what is going on for teens that lead us to view them in this way?
Right. So I think sometimes as adults, we've been through it. We have already gone through our lives and dealt with the drama that is middle school and high school years. And we also kind of forget, too, that, as young as 5, we can start having thoughts that just come into our brain that are really negative. And as we get older and are also dealing with the struggles that teens run into, they get worse and worse, and they don't always have the skills or the other thoughts to combat those negative thoughts as they come in. And so, just remembering that we can be our own worst critics, and as teenagers, we have not yet learned what that voice sounds like to challenge it. And so as parents, you get to start leaning into those moments and dealing with that on the day-to-day basis. And sometimes that can look like, the teen comes in and they're just like, oh my gosh, I failed the test and I'm just the dumbest person ever. And I think as parents, we want to quickly fix that moment for them.
Sure.
And it feels like, okay, yeah, this is our moment. We get to help them realize you're not the dumbest person ever. That's not necessarily what the teen needs, though. Mm-hmm. And so, you as the parent get to sit with that and you get to listen and just be like, wow, yeah, that really does suck. Failing a test does not feel great. And sometimes we get disappointed in ourselves. And sometimes letting the teen then talk more about that and realize oh yeah, I can feel this feeling. That's okay. But then we also get to talk about how do we move forward from that? What do we need to do next time? And what then steps can we take to put into place? Do you need to study differently? Do we need to give you more time to study? Do we need to help you with studying? Do we need to find a tutor? Then you can go into that fixing mode.
Sure.
Because that still needs to happen. But it is that first, we get to, as the adult in the room, not react and just listen and be there for them.
Mm-hmm. So there's actually an earlier episode of this podcast called Does Your Child Feel Heard? And that is definitely a topic that we talk about. Like, as parents, we get so excited this moment. This kid jumps into the car, tells us about their day, and we're like, aha, this is a teaching moment. This is a time where I can be impactful for my child. And then we just get this look from them of like, ugh, you don't even understand, because we did not. We jumped into, this is what I can do to help, and not, oh, do you feel validated in this feelings that you're having? I'm curious from your perspective, since you work with adults too, like what you think is going on for parents at that time, like why we do that, why we just jump into this fix-it mode.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing to, like, one, ask yourself as the parent, because I can come up with, like, my own assumptions.
Sure.
And, of course, I talk to clients about that. Mm-hmm. But I do think it oftentimes comes from this perspective of, like, I'm the parent. Like, oh, my gosh, I have all this pressure to teach them and, like, help them grow into the best person they can be, and so that they survive when they get out of this household. And there's so much pressure about that future. And needing this child and teen to, like, turn into this particular person.
Yeah.
And so that it's really easy to get caught up in that. And that's really normal. And, like, I think also we can do this, you know, as adults with other adults too.
Right.
Where a friend can come to us and talk to us about something. We immediately want to be like, okay, how do we fix this for you?
Right.
And that's not necessarily always helpful to jump into.
Yeah, some people want it to be a fixed situation, and some people, like, I just want to be heard, or I want to be able to vent, or whatever that is. Yeah.
Yes.
And so looking at the example that you just shared of, like, the kid coming in or the teen coming in and saying, oh, I failed this test, I'm the dumbest person ever. I think self-esteem plays a big role in that. I know we've talked about that and, like, trying to help promote self-esteem in teens. So I imagine that there's something going on with the parent of, like, okay, I don't want my kid thinking that they're the dumbest, so I'm just going to, like, amp it up here and say, like, you're so smart. Look at how great you are in all these other areas, which can accidentally contribute to them feeling like they're not being heard. Even though it's a positive reason that they're doing it, like, they just don't really feel like they're being heard.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that is also a part of sometimes, like, as adults and as the parent, we can struggle with those emotions too, and that doesn't always feel comfortable. And because we have some of those thoughts of, like, ooh, I don't want my teen to think so badly about themselves. I want them, you know, to really understand they're a great human being. They're amazing. And we get to also have that moment, but first we also get to know, like, we sometimes have uncomfortable feelings.
Right.
And we get to live in that discomfort. And I think that's a lot of times, you know, when I think about mindfulness skills, that's why we talk about being non-judgmental and just being curious about it and delving into it, because it's okay that you sometimes have those, like, uncomfy feelings about yourself. And you get to also be with your teen as they're navigating through that and explore that. Because when we try to just immediately say, like, hey, no, you're amazing. Like, look, you might not be great at math, but you're really good at English. That could be absolutely true, but that's, like, diffusing the situation that doesn't really need to be diffused in that way.
And it's our own discomfort as the parent. Like, I feel uncomfortable that you don't have confidence in yourself. And so I'm kind of almost, like, inadvertently, like, putting that back on you, that pressure on you as the teen, because I feel that discomfort. So, like, from a mindfulness perspective, probably a good idea for parents to just pause for a second before they react to be like, what is going on? Like, what am I thinking about right now? What am I feeling? Because if we take that moment to do that, we might actually respond in a way that's, like, better for what the teen is actually needing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, okay, if we see as parents that our teen is being, like, super emotional, moody, or even, like, having that low self-esteem, what do you suggest parents do? Like, how do they address that with them? Because parents have to be parents. Sometimes we do have to come in and say, like, hey, we need to change our attitude or something like that. So what's a good balance for them to feel like they're supporting and understanding their kid but still being a parent?
And that's a great question. I think a lot of times, like, learning what this language sounds like for you as the parent. What makes the most sense in your brain when you're engaging in these things? And, you know, like, my language sometimes is to immediately, you know, connect with that feeling and kind of respond in a way of, like, wow, that sounds really disappointing. Or, like, oh man, that sounds tough. And just kind of making some of those statements of, like, what are you noticing about what they're bringing you? Because your kid is bringing you a lot. They're bringing you a lot of emotions, and they don't necessarily always get what they're bringing. And so sometimes giving them the words of like, that's disappointing, or that's really tough, or that might be really scary for you, or overwhelming. And then letting the teen kind of give more feedback. Sometimes they might roll their eyes still and be like, ugh, you just don't understand me. But the more and more we normalize that conversation, sometimes they can come back with more. And then we can go into, you know, like, I'm really sorry that happened, but, or, you know, however, mm-hmm. like, here's what we also can do. And you can give those teachable moments at that point. It's not necessarily like just being curious and leaving it at that. We get to be curious about our feelings. We get to explore that, but then we also get to explore the teachable moment. But I think we sometimes skip to that teachable moment first.
Right. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I always think of, like, the examples, you know, for our listeners, I tend to work with younger kids. And so, like, I might be working with parents and they're, like, 30s somewhere where they're annoyed by their own parents for, like, all the suggestions and recommendations that they get. Mm-hmm. But then they're like, I'm 35. I've done this. I can help my kids so that they don't have to go through some of the things that I did. Mm-hmm. And so it's that, like, disconnect of not recognizing, like, we all have these phases. A teenager has to go through the phase of rolling their eyes and feeling like nobody yep. understands them, just like, you know, young adults have phases. We have before you become a parent phase, the after you become a parent phase, the grandparent phase. Everybody has these phases, and no matter how much we try to tell them what that phase should look like and what they should be doing, I mean, everybody's kind of on a spectrum, but we all have to go through them, and we all have to make those mistakes and learn from them. Mm-hmm. So I think that's an important thing for parents to remember, that your teenager's going to roll their eyes at you. They're yeah. going to be kind of moody, have that negative attitude. And that mm-hmm. is unfortunately part of being a teen and growing up and how they get into that next phase, which right. can be frustrating, but mm-hmm. hopefully is comforting for some parents to recognize, like, oh, this is just my teen being a teen.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think a part of that too, we get to learn then for parents, you don't have to necessarily take that personally. This right. isn't always about you. Mm-hmm. Like, just because they're rolling their eyes at you, like, it's still a part of the whole situation that this teen is trying to figure out. And when we can sometimes, like, create a little bit of that boundary of, like, okay, my teen is reacting to the situation. Mm-hmm. And yes, a little bit to me too, but right. it doesn't have to be about me. Mm-hmm. And when, like, you can find that foundation for yourself and, you know, kind of like earlier, give yourself maybe a few seconds to take a deep breath and be like, okay, this is not about me. What are they giving me? And sometimes normalizing too, like, okay, you're feeling a lot of feelings right now. How about you go take a break?
Sure.
And then, like, in a half hour, you know, let's come back around and, like, continue talking about this mm-hmm. so that you can also teach those skills, not only for yourself, so that you can have that 30 minutes to maybe, like, collect yourself after having to deal with, like, a kid reacting to you. Mm-hmm. But then also that teenager learns, like, okay, sometimes it's okay to take a break.
Sure.
And come back and reassess.
Sure. So that's kind of that touches on the topic of role modeling. And I know we've talked mm-hmm. a little bit about self-esteem. I think always when it comes to the concept of self-esteem, we want to just be able to say, like, you're beautiful, you're smart, you're funny, whatever it is. But I think a lot of what contributes to our self-esteem is what we see all around us mm-hmm. all the time. Body image and the way people are treated and things like that. So as an adult, as parents, do you give suggestions, like, with the clients that you're working with, of if they are wanting to help with body image or self-esteem, things like that? Do you give suggestions on what they can do as parents themselves, not necessarily what they say to their teen, mm-hmm. but, like, how they live their life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really, really important just as adults in general, but especially as parents, like, to be aware of what conversations you're naturally having. Even, you know, comments that you're making when you see something on the TV, when you see something when you're walking through Target, and noticing that sometimes those might be really offhanded comments, like, mm-hmm. oh, look at how that person is dressed.
Sure.
That can still be internalized by a teen, and, like, we'll never totally understand that because mm-hmm. they don't even sometimes understand that they're right. internalizing that. Mm-hmm. But then too, as, you know, parents, you're not going to be perfect. Right. There are going to be days where you don't feel great about yourself and you might make an offhanded comment mm-hmm. of, like, ugh, I feel fat today or right. whatever. Those comments can happen and it's not the worst. Mm-hmm. But if that's happening every day, and you're commenting on people's weight all the time, or you're saying something about their hairstyles every day, that then creates this narrative that the kid hears all the time. Mm-hmm. And so they internalize that. So the more and more we can catch ourselves, and we don't have to be like, I'm the most beautiful person ever.
Right, right.
But like, oh, I look pretty good today. I feel good today. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel good when I'm wearing jeans. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, whatever it is. You get to normalize some of those little conversations.
Yeah.
And again, I'm going to be a broken record about like just catching when you're being judgmental.
Right.
Because it's so easy. Mm-hmm. Like, we are in a society that compares 24/7. Mm-hmm. And so to stop ourselves from doing that can be really, really hard.
Right.
And so over time, we're going to be growing with that and changing, and we got to just be curious about it.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that is like an unconscious response for people. Mm-hmm. In the work that I do, something I've noticed is that parents will say, you can come to me to talk about whatever it is, whatever that topic is. But then even in the interactions that I'm observing, or like conversations that we're having, I'm recognizing that the actions do not align with the words. So it's like the do mm-hmm. as I say, not as I do, or whatever. So like if I'm saying you can come talk to me if somebody's being mean to you, and then maybe we reject it when somebody's being, when they come and say like someone was being mean, like, well, were they really being mean, or what do you need to do right. about it? You know, like we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. or like from a body image perspective, if they're hearing us say these things that are contradictory mm-hmm. to the message of like, you're beautiful and I want you to come talk to me if you're feeling sad about yourself, when they also feel like we're judging them with the comments that we make. Mm-hmm. That's, I don't want to stress parents out, of course, right. because I'm a parent. And I worry that I make a mistake every single day.
Yes.
But I think just kind of drawing attention to that, like, what are they hearing us say? Mm-hmm. And what are they observing us doing? Mm-hmm. What are they observing us watching? Not even just us, but like the people we surround them with, which I know can be complicated.
Oh, yeah.
When there's other people around, you can't always control who's around and what's being said. But if you're trying to be more aware of what has been said, you might be able to go back later and say, hey, this thing was said during this time that we were with, you know, extended family or with this large group. Mm-hmm. I'm curious on your thoughts about it, or mm-hmm. This is my thought about it. Like, you can tell me if you want to. I just want to make sure that you know that I don't agree with that statement that was made or something like that, mm-hmm. just to kind of help with that. So they're hearing a lot of messages all throughout the day.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and having just the normalization of you get to come back to these things mm-hmm. and you get to make mistakes, because that's part of like modeling as well as the adult. Like, we're going to sometimes struggle with things and we're not going to be perfect, because we don't expect anybody to be perfect.
Right.
And so there's going to be days where you're going to struggle mm-hmm. and like, you know, within your comfort level, even being honest about those things and like just giving that repair moment a chance as well. And knowing that, like, you get to come back to this, you get to have a conversation about it. But I think that also lends to, like, being able to have that, like, connection with the teen when they notice, like, oh, yeah, like, okay, mom made this mistake or dad made this mistake, and, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal. And we were able to talk about it. And then so if the teen comes and is able to do the same thing with them, like, hey, I made this mistake, and mom and dad are like, yeah, we got you. Mm-hmm. And being able to have those moments is really, really cool as a parent mm-hmm. because you get to be with these kids during some of their most vulnerable moments, and they're with you during some of your most vulnerable moments too. Mm-hmm. And so it just, yeah, it can be really cool. And it doesn't always have to be like really stressful.
Right, right. I think that's kind of a shift in like the traditional viewpoint of like parents are the authority figures and kids are not, like they're the bottom rung of the ladder, the totem mm-hmm. pole, that like sometimes it can feel like a sign of weakness as a parent to say, ooh, I messed up here, or, you know, I need to apologize, or whatever it might be. And so for parents to be able to see that that's actually like a role model, that's a healthy thing right. for us to be doing.
Yep.
Because again, in the work that I do, I can see an adult who doesn't want to ever apologize or take accountability getting upset at their 5, 6, 7-year-olds for not being able to take accountability. Mm-hmm. Well, it's really hard for a kid or a teen to learn how to take accountability if the adults in their life are role modeling, no, it's always your fault. It's always somebody mm-hmm. else's fault, right? It's not my fault. So I think that that's a really unique or important viewpoint to see, that it's actually role modeling. Mm-hmm. It's not a sign of weakness that you've decided to say, you know what, I messed up or I was wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think especially for teens, you know, developmentally, they're becoming their own individual self. Mm-hmm. And so being able to give that space to kind of let them be a little bit more of the authority figure in a way.
Right.
Because they have to learn that for themselves if they're going to be leaving the house in a few years. Mm-hmm. They have to be that authority figure. And so like sometimes getting on the same level as them, it doesn't have to be this, you know, scary thing for the adult and to be like, oh, I'm losing my power.
Right.
Like, no, you're teaching your child right now. Mm-hmm. And that's really awesome.
Right. Yeah. Because at 15, they still rely on you for some things. Mm-hmm. But in a few short years, if they decide to go off to college, like they're not going to, they'll call you.
Right.
But they're going to be off at college. Some of them are in different towns or different states than their parents. And so for mm-hmm. them to be able to have enough independent thought to be able to get through when they're off at college away from you is kind of a big deal. So. Right. Mm-hmm. Again, not to scare anybody who is trying to develop these skills at 15, 16 for their teen, but an important reminder that that is actually part of that developmental process. And even mm-hmm. though it's hard for us as parents, it's part of the job to just kind of step back and see what kind of decisions they're going to make on their own.
Right.
So now, as a therapist, I get complaints from parents a lot about this topic, and I imagine it happens for you too because you're working with teens and they're just older, but I can give the exact same piece of advice that a parent has given, and a kid is like, yes, that is like going to be my Bible here. And parents are like, what the heck? I said that like 17 times, and they're not listening to me. Mm-hmm. I imagine that happens a lot in the teenage world as well, where even yep. if it's just a friend or a teacher or like anybody else besides their parent, mm-hmm. they're cool therapists that they're willing to listen to. So what do you tell parents when they say that this is happening and get frustrated by that?
Mm-hmm. First of all, I normalize the fact that that happens to me too. I can be working with a teen and talking about these specific things, and then they come back in 2 weeks and they're like, so my teacher said, blah, blah, and I'm like, dude, I told you that 2 weeks ago. Now, do I say that out loud? No.
No.
Because that's not helpful. But what I usually reflect back to, so years ago, I read this book about like feedback and receiving feedback and giving feedback. And one of the examples was like a married couple. And the husband was put on crutches, and the wife had had crutches before. And so she was telling him, how do you do it so that it doesn't hurt your armpits?
Sure.
And he was like, yeah, whatever. And then he goes to work the day. And he comes back and he's like, so this person on the subway, like, told me how I should be, like, using my crutches. And the wife is like, dude, I told you that. So this happens in so many of our relationships. Mm-hmm. And what I usually then, like, lend to is you get to be that person in your teen's life who probably, like, plants that seed.
Sure.
And, like, gives that initial foundation of these concepts. And then they also get to hear it from other people. Mm-hmm. And if that clicks from somebody else, awesome. Because that's also why we have other relationships. Right. And why we have other support persons. Because it's not all on you as the parent. Mm-hmm. And so you get to then be really encouraging that, like, wow, yeah, that teacher is so supportive. Like, they sure. really get you. Because that was for that one moment. There might be another, you know, moment where a few years down the line, they're going to remember like, oh yeah, I remember when dad said this, or mm-hmm. I remember when mom said this, and that can shift.
Sure. Okay. So am I hearing you correctly in that we should not say, excuse you, I told you that last week. Why aren't you listening to me?
No, that's probably not going to be helpful. That's probably
not going to be helpful. Okay. Yeah. So instead, we just recognize it as part mm-hmm. of their development. They're not only taking in your guidance mm-hmm. and just letting it sit in their brain somewhere, but they're also willing to look out for other resources, which again is mm-hmm. important right. if they go out to college or onto their adulthood, that they are going to need to figure out. There's going to be a lot of information coming into them from a lot of different people. So they have to figure out whose advice they think is right and whose mm-hmm. they're going to dismiss. And at some point, they might come back and say, hey, that sounds like the same thing that my dad told me. Okay, that must be the right answer.
Right. Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think just normalizing the fact that, like, you don't have to be the only one in their life giving them these mm-hmm. ideas. And
probably like, don't want to be.
Right. That's yeah. really stressful. Mm-hmm. And like really limiting for the teen as well. Mm-hmm. Now, and I think in a little bit in how you just reflected that, there is that moment of we have to be critical about these things that we're hearing.
Yeah.
And so like being able to have that follow-up conversation of like, yeah, you know, that's great that teacher so-and-so said this or your coach said this because, you know, we value this in our family. We value this as, you know, who we want you to become as an individual. You can have that follow-up conversation, but to immediately say like, ugh, I already taught you that. Like that's really taking away from that mm-hmm. learning moment.
Right. Absolutely. It might deter them from even sharing in the future. They might still go right. to somebody else for advice, but they're not going to come back to you and say, hey, mm-hmm. this is what I learned. And as you were reflecting it back to me, I was thinking, too, of, like, the conversations we could have of, like, okay, your teacher had that idea. What was it about it that you liked to kind right. of help them to take it a step further of, like, mm-hmm. to learn from that, not just that I can trust my teacher, mm-hmm. but that they can think critically through all of those pieces of advice that they get down the line to figure out which one is correct for them.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. Well, we've talked about a lot of topics today. Is there anything else that you feel like you want to end with? I know, I imagine that most times when guests come here later, they're like, oh, that would have been a good thing to add. So I'm sure we won't capture all of it.
Right.
But if there is something that you feel like I really wanted to cover or just, you know, these are – when you are working with clients, you have the ongoing conversation. You can give them those suggestions. But mm-hmm. somebody who's just popping on here saying, oh, I'm feeling at a loss with my teen. What do I do? Is there anything else that's a common part of your practice that you think would be worth sharing for listeners right now?
Mm-hmm. In thinking about this topic, I think the main thing that I hear a lot in my office from the teens that I work with is my parents don't listen to me.
Mm.
And then I hear on the back end of that, parents were like, my teens don't listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And like there is a lot of that already just naturally that's going to happen mm-hmm. because they're growing, they're learning that independence. And so there will be those times where they get moody and overwhelmed and I don't like you. But as the parent, I just really always stress like you, one, don't have to be perfect. I want everybody in everyone in this world to hear that. You get to make mistakes. You also get to explore emotions. You don't have to diffuse right away. You don't have to fix right away. You get to just sit with some of those emotions and normalize that. And then we get to move into the learning moments.
Mm-hmm.
But that big piece is just sitting with those emotions first
mm-hmm.
and learning what does that look like for you?
Because
mm-hmm. it's going to look different for everybody. And exploring that and mm-hmm. being curious about it.
Sure. And I think what you've just addressed here is excuse me, something that everyone should be listening to. You shared the example of the crutches situation and the spouses. This was all valid for how you address conflict in the workplace, how you address mm-hmm. conflict with your kid, how you address conflict with your spouse, your family member, whatever. Because if we're just discounting the other's perspective, it's never going to go anywhere. So
right.
valid information for all different phases of life and all different types of relationships that you can have.
Absolutely.
For sure. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for being here today to share your knowledge about teens and parents and what we can do to help support them. For the listeners, if you enjoyed Sarah's discussion today, please feel free to leave a comment below. Do remember that the comment section is a public setting. So if your comment is a question about your desire to get set up with counseling or about your child specifically, just please remember that that information is public and others would be able to see it. So if you need confidentially to be able to discuss this, please contact our office at 605-275-0009, extension 1, to speak with our admin team, or you can email our admin team at info@SiouxFallsCounseling.com. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Knowledgeable Parent Podcast. Did you like what you heard? Share your opinion by rating the podcast on your favorite platform. Thanks for listening and see you next time.